This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon.
And this is Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice.
What's going on?
Man, what's up?
What's up to the people? How y'all doing? Just shouting y'all out. Thanks for being in the conversation.
Thank you for joining us. Hit that subscribe button like right now.
Bird. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, thank you for that. I saw you.
That was official. You committed to that shit.
Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great, man.
Yeah?
I'm feeling great, man. We'll get to that, but you know what I'm saying?
All right. You're going to bury the lead, huh?
It's just, I don't want to jump out with it, you know what I mean? All that upness and shit. I'm going to let it marinate.
Okay. All right. That's true. I hear that. We're going to get to it, though. I like how you restraint. Oh, man. I'm doing good, too, man. I feel good. I haven't received any more elevation of upness, but I just came back from Atlanta. I want to shout out everybody that was in Atlanta that came out to the Punchline this weekend. We had a good ass time out there. Shout out to, we had some people, some conversationalists come through the building.
Word.
Absolutely. Some good friends and family come through the building. Some CAU alumni. Some LaFace alumni, some Atlanta alumni. It was a good time, man. Shout out to my man Damon Sumner hosted. Shout out to Rob Hayes featuring. Shout out to Dan Weeks featuring. Shout out to everybody over there in Atlanta, man. It was a good time. We had some fun in the building.
You be in the city.
Yeah.
How'd it feel to be back?
It felt interesting. It felt good. You realize how much of a creature of habit you could be. Like, I'm just going to the same places I went to way back when, you know, just to do it. It was old like, restaurants.
What was your first stop?
I went to, what was the first thing I did? So when I first came in, I rented a car the next day because I didn't want to, I was out in Buckhead and I wanted to hit a few spots and I didn't really want to be doing a bunch of Ubering. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Atlanta not like Uber in the, I mean, LA in the way where the Uber is just part of the culture. The Uber's like the train in LA. Like the Ubers is $3 to $4.
I caught an Uber in the regular Miami and not South Beach and they were like, oh, you take public transportation?
Oh, they called the Uber public transportation?
I was like,
hilarious.
Damn.
Is this Uber pool?
Nah, it's just a regular Uber.
Like, ooh.
They're like, you on the public transportation?
Hilarious.
Like, man, this the Uber.
This is the future. Nah, so I rented a car, and then I went down to the AU, drove around the campus. I didn't even just sit down. I ain't walked the campus or nothing. I was just driving around just to kind of feel the vibe. Mm-hmm. Then went down to Little Five Points. Went through Wish, Junkman's Daughter, drove around, you know, did that little thing. Mm-hmm. Even before I did all that, the night before, had me some J.R. Crickets, post made it to the spot. So I got a good lemon pepper situation.
I think you was the future and the past.
I was out
all
there.
All that was.
I was out there, post made.
Old nostalgic, exactly. Futuristic mm-hmm. ass mother.
Hit the Lenox.
Bird.
Hit the Lenox. You know, it's always interesting to go to the Lenox. Always feel a little underdressed in Lenox because them motherfuckers be going.
They hard, still go hard enough?
Hard. It's the Olympics. They going for it. But it was good, man. It was just good to just be in the building, be around there, be in that energy, see my people out there. You know what I mean? It was cool.
How was the shows?
Shows were fun. We had a good time. We had good times. Definitely was in my head about them joints. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But it all worked out for the best. And started having more fun as we
right.
went through the weekend.
What was your favorite part about this trip?
That's a good question. I mean, my seeing the people, mm-hmm. seeing friends and shit, people I knew, you know what I mean, coming out, that was dope. That might have been probably maybe one of the best things. Just seeing my people, just having a good time, hanging out. You know what I mean? Reconnecting. That was cool. On another thing, I was proud of myself for, like, getting me a little green drink every day. You know what okay, I mean? Like, okay. Not all the way indulging in the bullshit. Okay. A little lightweight bullshit indulgence, because Atlanta, though, they got everything you need.
You can indulge to your heart.
Fail. I mean, come on, to your heart stop.
You know what I'm saying?
So I was like, yeah, let me chill. I used a little bit of restraint. I enjoyed myself out there. It was cool. It was a good time.
But yeah. Hit any clubs?
Any clubs? Nah, we ain't do all that. Everything was at, like, most of my people was out of town, so we ain't connected till, like, the last night. So, yeah, it was chill.
That's what's up, man.
What's up with you, man? What you been up to?
Man, I woke up this morning.
Uh-huh. What happened?
And then motherfucking glitter started falling out the sky.
Glitter? Really? I mean, I know you was just on the Truth the Truth Subscription podcast.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But, yeah, the nominations came out today.
Uh-huh.
And like I said before, I worked on a
film. What nominations?
The Oscar nominations.
Oscar nominations. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
And I was saying before.
You mean the Academy Awards?
The Academy Awards. Okay. You know what I'm saying? All that shit right
the
there.
The 90th annual.
The 90th. Okay. Right? That's what it is. It's the 90th.
It's the 90th.
2018.
90, yeah.
I'll write that down.
So go ahead.
Now, so, you know, the nominations came out, and the film that Laura Checkaway did that I worked on, Edith and Eddie,
mm-hmm.
got nominated for Best Documentary Short.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, whoa. That's what I woke up to.
But what's whoa mean? What's that mean?
Whoa,
what
you means, whoa means shit, man. I didn't even have that on the bucket list yet. You know what I'm saying?
But what are you saying when you say whoa? What do you mean? Tell the people.
Whoa is shit. That's a big deal. To be nominated for a fucking Academy Award.
You're nominated for the Academy Award.
I'm on the motherfucking credit. So yeah. I'm a part of it. I'm not the director nor the producer. So I won't be able to go on the stage. But that shit will go on my bio.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now y'all could, as it stands now.
You are Oscar nominated motherfucker.
Exactly. Cinematographer probably is a whole different
category.
Streets, yeah, you're right.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
It's you and Juicy J. Juicy J's
a winner.
Which you know still.
Common
out there. Common's a winner too.
I think he's a winner and he's nominated again this year.
He didn't go all his way to be an EGOT. I think he only got the Tony to go.
Right.
Ain't that crazy?
Nah.
But motherfucking Ali Muhammad Oscar Award nominated. Ali Muhammad, cinematographer.
Hey. That's
up than a motherfucker.
That sounds great than a motherfucker, man. I don't know what it means.
I don't know what that does, but
shit. We going to run with it, you know?
That definitely fleshes out that first paragraph for that obituary. I mean, that sounds a lot better than real nigga.
He was a real nigga. He was a cool nigga.
Academy Award nominated.
Cool nigga.
Exactly.
Shout out to Laura Checkaway, who... You know what I'm saying? What made this even better? Not because, like, again, I ain't really know the gravity of it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really put no weight on it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The best part about the whole shit is that watching that shit, it's not some shit that came from the studio,
right?
Or Big Bank. You know, it didn't come from Netflix or nobody. You know what I'm saying? It was just an idea she had and said, "Let's do this shit."
Right?
And it was like any other shoot that we do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just work on it. You do whatever parts you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? You listen and listen to the things that she's going through, walking that shit as a independent person, paying for that shit out of their pocket, to already go against just it, even in the process, you up against all the films from, you know, around the world that's financed by big companies and shit like that. And to... have that work, you know, regarded as one of the best out of all of the best. That's a big deal.
And I
applaud her for putting her vision out there and stepping forward and having belief in her own shit to even get it started and going. You know?
That shit is dope. Shout out to Lord Checkaway. We should have her up here though.
I wanted to have her up here today, but she was about to go get drinks. So
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Explain to us a little bit about Eddie and Edith.
Edith and Eddie is a story about the two oldest interracial, the oldest interracial couple as they were built in the article that went out when people were first introduced to them when they first got married. Right. So they got married at like 94 and 96 or 90 and 94 or something right. crazy like that. And so the as the story goes, you know, Laura reads the article and like, oh my God, I would like to shoot him because that's so a so Laura thing to do. It's like, you know, right. want to shoot some old lovebirds, you know what I'm saying? She's sentimental like that. So she goes to shoot him, but then in the midst of shooting the story of the love part, there's a family dynamic that's vying to tear them apart. Mm-hmm. And that's what the story ends up becoming. One, the love, the tearing apart, and then the bigger issue of how people, elder rights, you know what I'm saying? So what rights do you have as you grow older?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have people that become your custodian and do as they will with you. So the story is it's a love story, but then it's a story on how the system is flawed in taking care of people in that situation. So... yeah, it was a big deal. I mean, it was a small love story. Cher, the singer, ended up reading that same story and becoming just as involved with it. So she ended up being a producer on the project, and shit, that shit, you know, went.
Yo, congratulations,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, man. So, man, you know, I mean, I'm on the team. I'm the sixth different? Man. I'm like J.R. Smith on it, but you know what I'm saying? I feel different than a motherfucker.
How you feel? How did it hit you? Because I know, I mean, maybe you have it all away, taking the whole shit, but how did it hit you initially when you was like, well, wait a minute, this means?
Well, yeah, because at first, like you say, it don't mean nothing at first, because, I don't be following awards and stuff like that or signing up for awards, right? So I don't really pay attention, right? But then this is like the Super Bowl of awards, and it's like
the Oscars.
But you know, I had to put it to the people who watch shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Well, I ain't watched the Oscars till I was all the way
in the NFL,
already grown. No doubt.
Yeah, keep going though.
So when it happens, and then you say it one time,
right?
Then it's like, oh shit! hold on. Let me say that again.
Oscar
nominated.
Wow.
Then it becomes like, oh shit! Let me tell somebody.
Right.
Let me see how this feels outside of just my own head.
Right.
So then you know you hear a couple of people that's invested in your career and shit, and right. let them know what happened. They're like, oh shit! That's like a big deal. So now you starting to feel it because,
right.
Because usually motherfuckers be like, okay, you did that shoot. All right, what's next?
Uh-huh.
You know what
good
I'm saying?
Shit.
Like when it's something like that, it puts a marker in the ground.
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
Over here doing work.
Right. So, you know, we haven't won, but I've already started planning, my L.A. trip.
Yeah, you gonna do a little politicking around?
I'm gonna go be out there. I don't know what kind of polying I'm doing, but I'm gonna be
be in the mix.
Hell yeah!
Shit!
When you a producer and you nominated for a Grammy on a record, right?
You gotta show up to the meetings. Yeah, you know I'm out here nominated and shit.
Like why you out here, man? Shit, I I'm nominated. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to run around, do some meetings and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, but you wanna see what opportunities is created just by that.
Absolutely.
I'm an entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying? I'm a hustler. So I want to see what it do. You know what I'm saying? Hey man, the price is going up. So let's see what it do.
You can't hustle this shit. Shit.
You know what I mean? So it's like, how do you work it? Like, it doesn't mean, like, I haven't been in a system like that. I don't know nobody with an Oscar to know what happens. I mean some people, I know a bunch of people with Emmys.
Right.
And their career go on, you know what I mean? They do the next thing. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But in this moment, in between, is, all right, how can you build on the momentum? What projects can you put out there? How does that affect your trajectory as far as where you're going and what you're putting out in the world? And it also is, are you already thinking like, damn, now the rest of my work got to, you know what I'm saying, kind of live up. Like, you know what I'm saying? This old Oscar nigga need to be making Oscar nigga kind of work.
Well, you're doing it. You're doing it. They just told you.
I'm just saying.
And, now you got to keep going.
And continue them. You know what I mean?
Keep going.
Yeah, you got to keep going and you got to put out. You guys got to keep putting shit out.
Yeah. It's a whole nother echelon. Or as Nas would say, echelon. Anyway.
Shout out to Nas.
No doubt.
Yeah, so
Nas
was
Oscar nominated as well. He's one of your peers.
On this year?
I think that was Thomas O'Matic, him and Eric Parker.
Oh, where, yeah, Eric Parker. Yeah, did they win that? That was.
They might have won. I don't know. Nominated is big, too.
Yeah, nominated is huge. Nominated is huge. So I'm gonna ride that on my nominated ass on out with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's gonna, you know, have to add to my intro.
That's
my intro
up.
Getting
that's
longer.
Up. Yeah, I see.
I ain't gonna do it to you.
All right, well, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
So shit. But it's cool though that this year
it's a nice little group.
Yeah, it's
of
a
people.
Nice crop of blacks. The,
yeah,
you know the after party probably gonna be lit.
It's gonna be pumping.
Mary J got two nominations.
Dancery, she got two.
Yeah,
I know best supporting. And what's the other
one? I think she got one for the music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, she hit them for both sides, huh?
Yeah. So
that's dope. Shout out to Mary J. Blige.
If we all win on the same week, that'll be, you know what I mean? We're going to be in the dancery.
Get out there, my man. What's his name? Daniel, the head guy. I'm about to pull a Tiffany Haddish because I don't know how to pronounce his last name. The lead guy from Get Out.
Bert.
Yeah, he's nominated. I'm pretty sure he's the nominated. Mm-hmm. And then Octavia Spencer.
Okay. You yeah, it's gonna be. I wonder who doing the black party.
I mean, you know, shit. You probably know who's doing.
I mean,
the black
I don't.
Party.
I mean, I probably, yeah, but
sure
I don't
D-Nice
know.
Is DJing at the black shit.
D Nice,
some black,
you know
shit.
What I'm saying, glossy, D-Nice, artistic. You know, artistic on the rise out there.
Okay, I don't even know who that is. That's a DJ.
DJ Artistic. He went to FAMU. He LA based. Him and that's DJ Clean partner.
Okay,
shout
that's
out
what's
to DJ
up.
Clean. But Artistic was doing. He DJed the Issa Rae's Malibu party, Malibu shit party, the other week for her birthday.
Well, shit, this week, we already started kicking up. This week is Grammys week.
Yeah, Grammys. That's this weekend?
Yeah, this week is here in New York.
Yeah.
In New York's.
What a time.
Yeah. And it's a big time if you're from Philly or, I mean, from New England. This is a big if you following the NFL, this is a big moment. It's so funny. I was in Atlanta talking to my homie Sense. He's from Philly. He's super.
Affiliates.
You know, yeah. They super, obviously, they Eagles fans. And they didn't boycott. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the only one.
I don't know if nobody in Atlanta boycotted. They got a new stadium. I think everybody participated.
Yo, that stadium. Have you seen that shit?
I rode past.
That shit looked like a Benz. It looks like a Benz. Like, it looked like a G-Wagon. That shit is amazing. That shit. Because I was one of the few people that was like, damn, you kind of knocking down the Georgia Dome pretty soon. It was only 25 years old. Like, I mean, we at the Garden is 150,000 years old. But, I mean, 25 years is not that long for a stadium.
Shit, the Miami Arena might have lasted 10 before they tore that bitch down.
Really?
I mean, it is what it seemed like. It seemed like it was really quick. That shit went up and that shit came down.
What's the new one they got?
The American Airlines.
How long has that been? That's been there for at least 20 years.
Not 20. Maybe 15. Maybe might be 20. I don't know.
Maybe
shit.
That's, maybe nah, not that's 20, the going rate. I feel like 25 years for a stadium is kind of quick.
Yeah, but
anyway.
It's not New York. Well, you can't just test shit down in New York real easy.
That's true. That's the shit is all.
You better build it to last.
It's kind of, yeah.
Because
it's wedged in at this point.
Exactly.
American Airlines Arena in Miami opened in
99. Yeah. So I saw Jay-Z in there. Okay. Super Bowl weekend,
okay.
99. Mm-hmm. That's when the Jigga What was out.
But so the Eagles and the good old the Patriots are in the Super Bowl.
Matt is, I guess, a New England fan.
Go Pats.
You boycotting though, right? You ain't fucking with none of this. Or you just saying
I'm boycotting.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I haven't watched the game.
I haven't watched the game.
But I ain't gonna lie, I watched a few highlights on ESPN.
If they come on, I mean, I'm not gonna turn the channel.
I don't even have a cable, so I purposely go to ESPN to watch, you know, some basketball highlights.
Okay.
And if I see an interesting headline on something, I might click on that motherfucker. So, you know what I mean?
So your boycott is a little flimsy, is what you
My said. Boycott is kind of, you know what I'm saying, not flimsy. But I do
it
have
sturdy.
It's you know so I do have like a little asterisk yeah, on my boycott.
Yeah.
He does watch one or two highlights of right. the week.
He's abreast of everything that's going on. Yeah, man. I kind of just don't. I want to boycott it all the way because I really want to see that this shit impacted. I already heard that these are some of the worst ratings they've gotten, but I want to see this be like one of the worst rated Super Bowls. Just for power's sake. Just
think
to
the
see.
Philly people not gonna watch.
Oh, they gonna watch. They're not participating in that shit.
Chris Latimer has been on the boycott strong.
That's dope.
And he's a huge Philly fan.
Yeah, and that's gotta be big for him then.
So I'm interested to see, you know what I'm saying, what his commentary is gonna be. Because it's a very, very militant commentary.
Right. Now is Philly ringless? Philly is Yeah, so this is a big fucking deal too. Woo. Right. Uh-huh.
So what a year to boycott.
Right.
You know, this is a test your strength.
And let's not forget that they also want vengeance on the Pats for we beat them in 2004 in the Super Bowl. Mm. A rematch. Mm. They're going down.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I hear the enthusiasm in your voice. Matt ain't boycotting.
No. Oh, shit. What else is going on, man? What's popping?
Man,
everybody hitting the joint at the same time.
Now, I mean, there's I guess the Everyday Struggle is back.
Yeah, they got Everyday Struggle back. They added Star.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is bugged out because I always align Joe Buttons with Star. Like,
okay.
I didn't know the Joe Button specifics or details.
Right.
I didn't know him. I didn't know enough about him to know much. But just in general, I would lump them in a Star and Butt Wild type of feel. As far as being the grumpy old man.
The hater space.
Yeah, the hater on the radio space. So did you check it out?
Yeah. I seen the first two episodes. It's interesting. I mean, Star definitely, you know, it's an interesting dynamic because Star is still provocative, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because Star was on the radio almost, 15 years ago?
Yeah, about 15.
So, what was super, like, provocative back then is, I mean, it's not to say that the shit ain't still raw.
No.
But it's a different type of, like, people have gotten even worse, like, even further. Like, what Joe would just call shit trash out of nowhere. Like, his shit was just, you know, it was, like,
critical.
Yeah, not always critical. It's just sometimes he would say some shit just because, he don't give a fuck. Right. It is what it is. 2 minutes later, he don't even feel that way.
Right.
Star, I think, his is a little bit more measured. What I do appreciate about Star being the older cat, you can tell he's studying that shit. Like, he prepared. He's talking about it all. Like, he looked like that motherfucker that studied everything. He's like, so what you got on that? What you thinking about that? Did you follow? Oh, yeah, I saw that. You know, I'm watching it. Like,
he was sitting on the sidelines for a long time.
Yeah, maybe.
Time, maybe. Man. He got a break. He got a chance, man. He's like, I got an opportunity to take this shit to the new level.
Yeah.
Get off the bench. Put me in, coach.
Yeah. He also said some wild shit about Nadeska before he got the job that came out on the Twitters.
Wait. He said something about her before
he got on the job.
Okay.
On his own.
On the Twitter or something?
No. Like his own podcast or whatever. Okay. Said something crazy. You know what I mean? Something loose.
Like,
this is said he wants to jerk off on her leg.
Oh my!
Some wild shit.
He don't know that time's up.
Woo! This before you even got your time card.
Give me the old time card. Time's up before he even get his first check.
That's an awkward situation.
So how do you handle that shit?
I mean, they spoke to it. You know,
she had to talk to him.
Yeah, they all on the show together. So.
Nadesta is on that show.
Yes.
I don't know.
She's the moderator of the show.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a little awkward. They, I mean,
That's very risky of the complex in this climate.
Yeah, but you know, I guess getting in front of it is getting in front of it. You know what I mean? They spoke to it, whatever. There was some sort of, I guess, apology or whatever. It's tough though. It's a hell of a. It's very tough.
That's open. That's a liability. Open.
Yeah. Who knows?
It's like what's an open
happen.
Wound. You know what I'm saying? Because if she feel uncomfortable in any kind of way, right. She gonna be like, y'all knew this before y'all hired.
From the door, and it's now everybody knows.
And it's a time's up moment right now. You know what I'm saying?
So who knows?
I hope she making more than academics.
I mean, who knows? I don't know.
And him.
Hopefully, help me shit. I hope everybody got that paid, all the money they need to get.
You know what I'm saying? Get the pay quality right. I mean, that's a lot of open doors to that conversation that they got there. But, you know.
It's interesting.
Hey, it ain't my company.
Yeah, that's not, you know.
Star. Where Buck Wild at?
I don't know, man. I have no clue. I don't know.
You don't give a fuck.
I don't really. Nah, Buck Wild always been missing. You know what I mean? That was always his MO. He was always kind of off the periphery. You know, I think Star kind of, he built Buck Wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He kind of gave him what to do. You know?
Okay. I never knew that dynamic.
When I
moved here, they were already kind of on the fly, already going.
Right.
So I didn't really, and I didn't really listen to that shit no way. I don't be on that.
They were classic, man. It was something. It was definitely shocking.
It was like mad rapper in real life.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. It was definitely, he calls himself the father of the troll. And he could rightfully claim that. You know.
No doubt.
You know, yeah. Nigga ever trolled you? Who?
On the internet.
Star?
No, anybody.
Oh, yeah, I've had trolls on the internet. Hell yeah. I started having
trolls. How do you handle a troll?
I don't even engage. Because that's what they want.
Just let it go.
They want that. Yeah, they want that shit. You want to see how long they keep going. You know what I mean?
You be looking them up, too, huh? Like, who's this?
Nah, sometimes they at you.
This motherfucker.
More often than
not. Not looking up, after the motherfucker troll, you be looking on his profile.
Oh, yeah, you got to
like,
break the whole shit down, see what's cracking.
Motherfucker.
See, and you feel bad if they troll everybody.
Right.
Because then you don't feel special. You're like, motherfucker, you just trolling for attention. You trolling the whole fucking phone book in this bitch.
Mm.
But, it ain't too crazy. I see Kevin Hart put a couple of his trolls on his Instagram today.
Oh, today.
And they went over there and just started killing motherfuckers. He was like, you know, I'm all about love and da 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 da. So I want to give some love to these trolls. It was like four motherfuckers. And then if you click on their shit, niggas and hopped in their comments and it's just,
you know, that, you know, the
roasting them.
The anti-troll, boy. They,
right, right.
Woo! That's a vigilante feel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Beyonce.
With the conviction of thinking they right.
Exactly. Just cause.
Yeah.
Whoever side they on, if you ain't on that side, your ass in trouble. The motherfuckers, like, when they get on you, I read this article, I guess this white girl wrote an article saying that she had been targeted by Black Twitter.
Shit, that's going to be a fucking Oscar award winning screenplay in 3 years.
Because she...
The dragging.
She wanted to put her spin on different culture food and stuff, and then she swung around and got to soul food.
Right.
And you know,
what is her spin?
Like, she, I guess she said she made mac and cheese and she put these kind of vegetables in it. Okay. And da, 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 you know, they know
money. But is her spin like a healthy spin? Like,
yeah, it's supposed to be like a healthier spin on soul food and shit. And,
okay. But she takes her spin and goes to all of these other foods. So it's been like, she's probably put a spin on some Chinese food maybe and put some spin
I don't
on.
Know if she tried soul food first.
So she spun out from the door. That's what you're saying.
I'm not sure. Okay. But she spun it out right there. And and she was just saying how Black Twitter came for her.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Swiftly.
Yeah, and then, you know, but, you know, she still don't get it. Like, she was still saying shit in there that, like, you don't get it. You didn't learn your lesson.
Right.
But it's kind of like, when they on your ass, man, I would assume that they make your life miserable on the social.
Yeah.
Motherfucker be digging up your job.
Yeah, yeah. That's the worst.
And they MacGyverish with it too.
Oh yeah,
and they quick.
It's the computer.
They be on it, boy. They shit.
That's the worst when they be getting motherfuckers fired. Now that's the worst.
When motherfuckers do some crazy shit.
You do some wild shit. That's one thing. Now, if you just say some stupid shit, nothing super offensive, but if you, for instance, like spending on some soul food, like making a healthy version of some collard greens and shit like that.
Right.
If you get dragged, all right, keep the dragon a dragon, but if a motherfucker lose their job over some wild shit.
She
like
didn't lose
that.
Her job, but the motherfucker from, what's the girl from Alabama State or some shit?
Is this the latest one talking about she could be racist because she fucked black dudes?
Nah, this was, I don't know if she said that. I didn't see that part in the video. She said she hate niggas, and it was on Martin Luther King Day. And she was like, you know, I hate niggers. And I can say it now because in New Jersey, I can't say this. But in Alabama, I can say it. So I hate niggers. And I love my sorority. You saw that, Matt?
Of course.
I didn't see that, but.
Did you hear it?
I did not hear that.
Well, yeah. You know, they got her fired from her sorority and expelled from the school.
She got fired from the sorority. You got fired from the sorority?
Well, you know, you get kicked out. But. But, you know, she was silly as fuck for anyway, but just naming it out.
Played herself.
I love my whatever, phi, whatever it was.
Because she thought it couldn't happen.
Right.
That's the best example of it could still happen.
It happened swiftly.
Get up out of there.
She was done before the end of Martin Luther King's birthday.
I thought in the South they realized you have to keep the racism a little bit under wraps.
Not under the Trump administration.
Yeah. Fair. They're getting a little bold now.
Yeah, I mean, everybody finds their tribe and, you know. Their tribe is on top right now, at least in their minds. So they trying it, but you know, we ain't got to go for that shit. We ain't with it.
What you do this weekend?
This weekend? Man, I went to my son's basketball game.
Yeah.
Took my daughter to a play date. Mm-hmm. And I did my weekly Barnes & Noble run, which was actually pretty good. We came across a lot of good shit.
What you come across?
You know, when I be doing that shit, it's not specifically the thing you come across. It's the feeling that you come across once you in a zone and you start hitting some information that can help you
right
move about or understand how things are working. You know what I mean? The interesting thing is, like, I've been doing this for maybe 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you really have to dig and dig to come across, like, young people of color in a lot of these magazines and shit in the bookstore, like, globally. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you might have the famous ones here, like Serena and this one and that one, a celebrity, but, like, in the culture books, say, like, a Dazed or ID, where they just might highlight a 27-year-old, you know, producer in fucking Brooklyn or mm-hmm. South Africa or, you know, London somewhere. And you get to discover not only that person, but the movement that they're associated with.
Right.
And then you start traveling about. But, you know, in years before, it wasn't, they were, you know, mainstream publications didn't cover that many, you know what I'm saying, black people. So it wasn't as many of them as it is. Like, now it's like, oh, shit. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like cracking. It's mm-hmm. like you are seeing people that are young, black, global, just doing all kind of shit. You know what I mean? That's the inspiring part. Like, half the times, I don't even have to read the whole shit. Boom, I write the name in my journal, and then I go back and mm-hmm. Google the shit as I, you know what I'm saying, as I get time, you know what I mean? But to see it and then to see, okay, they doing this kind of movement and this is what's happening, okay, bet, that's dope, you know? A lot of times you it was like say during the EDM era when EDM was king.
Mm-hmm.
Even like a lot of the new cool urban DJs that I was coming across, they were all still aspiring to do the EDM. Be a big EDM DJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think now that's a thing of the past, and everybody's just digging into, you know what I'm saying, just a real, their own cultures, and you know, the African wave is big, so, you know what I'm saying, you're getting a lot of people playing on that wave. It's interesting, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just discover a lot of shit, man, that take your mind from where you at and put it anywhere on the globe. That's the type of shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like time traveling in your head.
Mm. So you feeling like you're seeing that the EDM wave is kind of dying down and people are kind of going a little bit more?
I mean, that wasn't really my point, but I did see an article this weekend that said EDM, when did the NASCAR audience become an EDM audience? Mm. And had a big EDM concert at like a NASCAR situation. So I think it's everything is you know what I mean, is that's going its own way, you know. We going our own way, you know. You got all of these different waves, and I think people are more buying into their own tribes now, as opposed to aspiring to be something that they see because it's big and it's sanctioned, and all the big magazines cover it, and those guys make the most. I think guys are just digging in and just doing dope shit, which is that's always the best.
I guess I see what you're saying, but I mean, give me some examples of when you said you were seeing this in these books.
Like I said, man, I'm
that wasn't really the point.
The point wasn't that I'm a name a bunch of people.
It just keeps you abreast of the new shit that's moving.
Exactly. Like it doesn't even, you don't keep you abreast, because I'm not reading for abreast. I'm reading for the vibe. What is
just in the know?
Not in the know, because it's not like you're digging for information. It's a feel. It's a, you're really looking for to tap into the collective consciousness, which is, you know what I'm saying, an invisible vibe that's just streaming through all this shit, you know what I'm saying, which is the common denominator. That's really what I'm really trying to tap into. You do come across specific names, and if I went through this notebook and get to that page, I could just start naming out some names.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really the point of it. The point was the inspiration and the energy that comes from the exercise of doing it.
No, I get it. It struck me curious because, like, I got a friend of mine that's, like, that does a lot of work within that realm, like that whole EDM type of thing. And I'm hearing how thriving it is or whatever. It is. So I'm curious, you know, like you were saying, you're seeing things to where it looks like things are starting to break off. So I thought you had a little bit more on that. I was curious.
No, I mean, I don't have an analysis of it. I know EDM is big as fuck, but I don't know if it's as cool as it used to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Sometimes it gets big and then it's not as cool. Like, and what used to irk me though, it used to irk me to see successful black DJs, right? Mm-hmm. That's successful in their field and doing their thing, aspire to be an EDM DJ.
So basically, like running outside of their culture,
right? To chase what is, you know what I'm saying, deemed to be big, and then you see guys do it, and you see other guys that just come back and just dig in to where they at. You know what I mean? Because it's like, if for a while, you know, when Diplo was running shit and all that, for a while, there was a lot of cats that was just trying to catch that wave.
Right.
And, you know, it's disheartening sometimes to watch, you know, cats that's thriving chase a wave that's not them.
Right.
That's all. Yeah. So I didn't say it was dead at all. I'm just saying the coolness of it, the draw of it outside of its own culture is waning on this side, which is, you know what I'm saying, fine by me.
Okay.
But like I said, they say it picked up steam on the NASCAR side, so EDM is going Trump.
What you think about that, Matt?
Another reason I don't really follow EDM. If they're going Trump, if EDM is going Trump and NASCAR, I'm not gonna even get closer.
So like fucking with it, Trump and NASCAR is not your neck of the woods.
Yeah, I didn't like it that much from the beginning. Not my jam. Now, no reason.
Yeah. What you listening to, Matt?
I'm never really up to date on any music. I'll listen to some classic rock. I'm that kind of guy.
Who's your favorite classic rock band? If you gotta just zone out, about to get drunk, you know, I mean, yeah, some shit.
Fuck with some Bruce Springsteen, some Red Hot Chili Peppers, even though they're not really classic. They're
They're not classic. They're 25 years.
But they've made stuff in the last 10 years. I guess Bruce
has too,
so,
right?
Yeah. Different genre, different. One's more funk. They're more funk than classic.
Funk. Okay. Funk, okay. Not the funk.
Yeah, they got a little more funk in them. Like, go back to early Chili Peppers.
Mm-hmm. Ritual, not, De La Habitual. Well, that's Jane's Addiction, right?
Yeah, I think that's okay. Not Chili Peppers. Well, back in the Mother's
Under
Milk
the
day.
Bridge under is the Chili Peppers, right? Yeah,
Like when back in like Mother's Milk albums and stuff like that.
That's what's up. What you been fucking with?
Music wise?
Just in general, what you do this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? Wow, what did I do this weekend? That's probably not a good sign. I can't even think of it.
Damn, man. I guess it's LinkedIn. They really waiting to hear what you did this weekend. You gonna just
Matt ain't do nothing. He was in the he don't want to tell y'all he was in them draws all weekend, man. I'm
trying to think.
It's cuffing season.
Oh yeah. Matt got a wifey though. You gotta
I'm saying. He was cuffing. Like shit. He don't wanna tell y'all he was out here cuffing.
It's like what happens in the house stays in the house. Everybody's business is nobody's business.
Oh, man.
Yo, what's up with you?
Man, I'm chilling, dude. I'm just getting back. More of the same. I ain't really been doing a whole lot. I just, you know, I was on the road.
What you fucking with, man?
What am I fucking with? I'm still sticking with the Shy. I'm watching that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to catch up on as many of these movies as I can before the Oscars. You know what I mean? Just to, you know, I voted in the SAG Awards. SAG Awards was this weekend. This is first time, you know, because I'm a SAG member, but I always miss it. Like, I'll watch the shit, but I always forget. And they'll send you a bunch of reminders. Awards voting starts at this time. And I always forget that shit. So this time, I finally got in there. And a few of my people won, so I felt good about that shit.
Your vote counted?
Yeah, my vote counted. Felt good about that. I'm seeing these new nominations, so I'm like, there's a few things I haven't seen. I want to kind of get in, you know, full conversation with that. What the fuck else is going on, man? I bought a black book on some old school graffiti shit. I bought a black book and some markers. I'm trying to tap into some creativity.
Word. What was your tag?
I used to tag Jester.
Jester.
Like Jester. Court Jester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
with the comedy.
Yeah. This is way back in the day. Four Raw Writers. Yeah, that was it. I was never, you know, I could do a throw up. I could tag. After that, I couldn't piece. I can't really draw, but I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to just explore various avenues of creativity. So I got this black book. I got these markers. I'm about to go in a little bit on that. I got this this little tablet that hooks up to Photoshop and shit like that that Young Flannery put me on to a while ago. Mm-hmm. So I got that. You know, just some shit just to fuck with.
To go back to your graffiti days.
Yeah. Sure, right? Yeah. That was my introduction to advertising and branding when I thought about it in retrospect.
How did you get started? Did you go out and put shit on walls, or you was like write it on a post office sticker and stick it on the wall?
More like the post office sticker, stick it on the wall. You tag on, you know, like you'll get up, but getting cans and shit like that, that was a whole lot. That was, you know, it was like the whole shit was a culture.
Right.
You got into it. I'm trying to think how you first got into it. I'm trying to think, did I see it? You see it around, and you see the culture like in movies, like, you know, like, what's the shit? What's the,
Wild Style?
Wild Style, you know, Beach Street even, you know, read some of the books, you know what I mean? And then you start meeting people that start, you know, typically meeting older people that write, you know what I mean? They may write, they get up a little bit. And there's something that's like exciting about it. You know what I mean? Because it's like going bombing. It's like going out late and shit. And you know what I mean? Trying to stay low and putting on wild hook. You know, all of that crazy shit.
So you go out to write. The bombing is going out to write your name.
Yeah, going out to bomb your name all over. Write your name all over as many places as you can.
Right.
Like if you bombing, like you go crazy with it. You know? And obviously I wasn't on that super level. If anything, I catch a tag somewhere. If I did a little throw up, it'd be something I'd be proud of till it got buff. But I wasn't nobody that was out there piecing or just doing massive throws. There used to be a cat named J.A. back in the day. He had the entire major digging, like you drive up the digging, J A J A J A J A, like way, like the shit was impressive, because that's really what it's about. It's like getting up where you would be like, oh shit, how the fuck they do that? You know what I mean? That was part of the look. Like, how the fuck you get up like that?
Right.
You know, or how you get up in that, like, in the middle of everything. You know what I'm saying? How nobody see you catch that big ass throw up. Right, you know what I mean? In the midst of that. So that was the allure that, I mean, again, like, and then it becomes like a community like everything else. You know what I'm saying? People got black books and shit like that. They pass their black books around. People tagging each other's black books, do some shit like that. You know, it's just something to do. Something to do. So it was cool.
So how long did you, like, what age did you start?
Maybe like 13, 14, some shit. Maybe like something like that.
What was your marker of choice?
It was a little, they had like a, the shit that you wanted to get, if you could catch, they used to have like these Magnum Pilots, like the little thick ass joints with the chisel thing, like the chisel brush.
Right.
You know what I mean? Is that, you could go as far as, then if you want to get stupid with it, you could like create your own paint markers where you'll buy like a little, I can't even explain, like a, it's like a
dishwashing bottle?
Kind of like a dishwashing bottle, like a dishwash, like a spray bottle. Right. Like a spray bottle, but you take the spray part off. You could fill this shit with ink. And if you take like something like maybe like a chalkboard eraser, you crack that shit and you put it in and you like rig it to where now that becomes your brush. Mm-hmm. And you got all that shit. So now your shit will drip. You get the nasty drip shit. You know what I mean? But now they create like these crink pens where they give you the drip effect. You don't even have to create your own shit. So stuff like that. You know, a Sharpie. That was the shit, going to the post office, get a whole bunch of, you know, little fucking, the address shits.
The labels.
And just stick them shits.
Yeah,
I've
never seen that. When I first came to New York in 92.
They kind of started killing them off?
No, it was, that's what it was. Like, I was living in the Bronx. Right. And you go in the post office and cats will just go steal the whole stack of the labels.
Yeah.
The post office labels.
Yeah.
Do they tag on them and then just stick the label on the mailbox or the pole or the, you know, saying the lobby door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, that's a way to save money.
Right. It's a good way to get it again. I mean, honestly, a lot of that shit was about not spending money. Part of it was not spending money. Like, if you going to get paint, most people, the shit was to rack paint, to steal that shit. You know what I mean? Like, because it's a lot of money. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of fucking money if you really spend it on it. So, it was that type of shit. You know, it was cool.
So, you're about to tap back into your
nah, I don't want to go, I mean,
in your
crazy.
Black book. In your black book. Not going
in
outside.
In my black book. Yeah. I feel like I've talked about it all here before. I do feel like graffiti's kind of all the comeback, though. I don't know. I don't know if it's because of Instagram again. Like, I don't know. But I just feel like I see way more people getting up than I did over the last few years. So it's definitely,
I'm just tapping into it right now.
Yeah,
quick.
It's definitely inspired me to be like, yeah, let me see what's good. Let me see what my hand looking like.
But you was about to say it kind of gave you that nod on marketing.
Early.
How is that?
Because that's the whole shit is about catching fame. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole thing, to be a king, to go, you know what I mean? So when you say your name, we say what you write, motherfuckers are like, oh shit, that's you. Cause it's like, it's almost like some superhero shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's for real. Cause you got all of these people that dwell in the darkness, that get up, you know, bomb and shit when nobody's watching, and then their shit is all over, and you don't know who the fuck that is. Like, you see their shit all the time, but then if you're into it, you're an admirer, and the motherfucker be like, yo, what you write? Yo, I write such and such. Word? Oh! And then it's a different level of respect. Like, if a motherfucker say, yo, I'm such and such, and that motherfucker is a king, and you seen them all, you like, they look different. You like, because it's so weird. The people that you would think, that's the other thing, is like, the personality that you could kind of project onto somebody's art based on either their tag name, based on you know, the type of shit that they draw, the type of spaces they get up on. Mm-hmm. You might have an idea of what this person is in your head, and then when you see the person, you're like, get the fuck out of work. It's weird. It's the funniest shit.
That's you?
Yeah, nigga. Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we ain't had that. We didn't have a graffiti culture.
Yeah.
It was, you know, you can't be writing on people's shit in Miami if I fuck around and get shot.
Well, y'all got Windward now, though. That shit seems to be...
That's a corporate wall.
But I'm sure y'all got some... You don't got no Miami graffiti legends?
Not that we wasn't looking for no graffiti. Hmm. They wasn't in Northwest Dade. I don't know if they was, you know what I'm saying, in Little Havana or some shit like that. I don't know.
That was one of them things. That was just another way.
Maybe in Wynwood. You know, yeah. A lot of New York Puerto Ricans lived in Wynwood. Yeah. Wynwood is like Miami, Washington Heights.
Okay.
Black and Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
But well, it used to be. I don't, this is gentrified now.
Yeah, that used to be a thing. That definitely used to be a thing. See that hand. Yeah. It was ill. And then it's, you know, it's always interesting to see who sticks with it, because that shit's a grueling ass lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, that shit ain't always, it's kind of thankless. You know what I mean? There's people I know that blown out their knee and, you know, doing dumb shit, jumping off of this, running from this, get caught like that, you know.
Miami people do that with cars.
Like,
just put rims, paint. Like, yeah. they get wild creative with the cars. I'm sure they do in Houston and other cities like that, but it's just like, you know, it's a, you know, during different eras, it's a certain look, you know. So, you know, when I was coming up with Trues and Vols, it was 30s with the Lows, and then the candy apple paints had just started to hit. So it was who could get the deepest candy apple look. And
like, what's the deepest meaning? The most, like, wet looking?
Yeah, the most wet looking, shiniest, you know what I'm saying? Just the prettiest color,
right?
Prettiest color combination on your car.
Right.
Like colorways on sneakers. Like, you know. But you know, that's a $40,000 hookup.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'm about to flip my whole vert from this color to that color, change my insides, do the top over, then the new rims will come out, you know. Went from 30s to 50s and Daytons and 100 spokes, and then the bigger rims started to come.
That's the Dunks and all.
That's
that
when
shit.
They started. The same car, they just putting different types of rims on it.
Right.
It's this car probably been flipped, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So many times from the time it was originally bought.
Does it change hands each flipping, or are you saying the owner might flip it three, four
owner
times?
Owner might flip it, might change hands. It's like, you know.
So a car is basically like a canvas.
Yeah, it's a canvas. That's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, some cats might go to a small town and ride through till they find, you know, an old Chevy, a 73 or a 72.
Right.
In somebody's backyard, just, you know, rotting away.
And
then you just bring it all the way back to life.
And they'd rather, more often than not, you would see the person flip this Chevy a couple times as opposed to copping a different Chevy. Say, I'm going to keep this Chevy here, cherry red and whatever color.
Depending on the dude. Okay. Depending on the person. You know what I'm saying? Some people like to keep theirs straight and then they just go get something else. Mm-hmm. Some people flip theirs all the way out or sell it and, you know what I'm saying, do something else. Some people, you know, you go broke and, you know, you got to get some money, so you have to sell your motherfucking vert. You know, it's all kind of shit. But it's like... These cars are from the 70s, 72, 73, and they riding them like they new.
You ever had any of these old cars?
No, I did not. I did not have a vert.
It didn't appeal to you, or it was a cost situation, or what's the
No. It was weird because, you know, it was two things. It was one, you didn't want to have a raggedy car first. So in order to have a vert, you got to, you know what I'm saying, if you ain't got bread like that, even when you got bread, you going to have, it's going to be raggedy for a while till you build it all the way up.
Right.
So then you think, "Man, I don't want to ride around no raggedy vert, you know what I mean? Da-da-da.
I can put my money into some shit that ain't really."
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like
yielding.
No, it's not that it's not yielding. It's just like, you know, You had to be about it. You can't just, that ain't something you just do. Like, you
it's
go
a lifestyle. It's a commitment.
Yeah, you ain't just go, like, you go buy a Honda Accord and shit and just roll. Like, you get into that Chevy life. It's not just, the car and what you're doing to it. Like you said, it's a culture, it's a lifestyle. And yeah. then you got, you know, it's the wolves out there that, you know, as soon as you put your rims on, they're gonna come take your shit. Mm. So you gotta be able to put that in your lifestyle, right. The protection of your car that you're
right.
building.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like even if you got a dope engine,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You got to watch that shit.
You got to watch that shit because it's like, okay, nigga might just come take your shit just so they can get your engine.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So that life is like, it's a lot that come with it. And if you ain't really on it like that, ain't no real need to be fucking with
it. Shit is exhausting.
It's a lot. Like, you know what I'm saying? You put, once you get your shit right, you got a target on you. Mm-hmm. It's a ticking clock, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. you gotta be able to protect it. Cause if you can't protect it, then niggas know you can't protect it, they coming to get it.
You just made that good for them.
Yeah, they coming to get that. They gonna wait.
Good looking out, fam.
They gonna wait till you put your feet on there, you know what I'm saying? Get your dude pushing right, you know what I mean? Get all your shit on there and then they gonna come try to take it. Mm. Then you gotta start over. But that's the game.
Damn.
that's how it go. You know, that's a lifestyle. It ain't like, you know, some people just want to get shit, but they don't understand what come with it, you know? So when you jump in that life, a lot come with it. It ain't just dunk life. I'm going to just roll out. You got, you know, if you got a garage, you live a little far out, you know what I'm saying? You ain't in the hood with it. You might pull yours out on Sunday, like, you know, like right. an OG.
Yeah, I see that. I see, you know, like Currency does shit like that.
Like you an OG and you got your shit stashed away somewhere. You cool. But if you young, you 18, 19, shit right in the hood, the block, you got yeah. you parking at your mama house, yeah. you trying to pull it in the back of the house, so right. you know what I'm right. saying?
So you can at least see somebody
right. You know, and you're going to make it a little more difficult, but you're burning out your mama grass. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of situation.
Oh, you burn out your mom's grass because of the engine?
Yeah, because you parking on the grass. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're parking on the grass, you fucking up the grass. Mm. So, you know, some cats, you know, they try to park it all the way up against the house, so, you know, it's right under their window and shit. Right. It's just like, you gotta babysit that shit.
Yeah.
If you ain't got the right facilities, you out in the wild. You right. in the open with.
Right.
You know?
So you felt like that was just too much responsibility.
Nah, man, yeah, I didn't.
All that stress.
You know what I'm saying? I had, you know, the thing is, it's like, on one hand, you been rolling, you know what I'm saying, newer cars, newer model cars, and rolling fresh like that. So you don't, it's like, damn, if I go buy my own shit, then I got to ride my raggedy shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, then you got to build all the way up as opposed to just jumping out fresh. Right. So, you know, it's all these stupid ass decisions that you make. Then I went to college, and shit, I wasn't thinking about that shit no more. And then I started a business, and that's where I put all my money.
Mm.
I put all my money in my business.
Yeah.
So that was my thing. I still don't put a whole lot of money in the cars now. That ain't really my shit.
Yeah. I like a nice car. I appreciate them from afar. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I see those shirts, they cool. To your point, it seems like, because I also see the other side of it with the shit sitting on the lawn for a year. You know what I mean? Waiting on the engine. I ain't got that. I got to wait on this. And that da 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 da. It's the fucking shit starting to get rusty on the bottom, and shit just look like it looked demoralized. Like,
you ride around with the primer paint.
Right. That shit ain't gonna happen.
You know what I mean? So if you can't all the way do it, you got to go through that. It's like growing dreads.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And you're paying a lot for an old ass car.
Right. But it paid back when you get it right.
Well, it's fly, but I mean, damn.
It paid back when you get it back, because some cats could hook an old car up. And the cat, I've seen cats pull up to the club in the Benz,
mm-hmm.
and the cat pull up in a vert right. that's just done right.
Right.
And get most attention in the Benz. Like, oh, the Benz sure. gonna disappear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then you got it, and then you got your music knocking.
Yeah, that's that.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like two Rottweilers in the fucking trunk fighting.
Exactly. You got Donkey Kong in the trunk.
That shit is ridiculous.
Shit, you causing a motherfucking scene.
That shit is ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying? And again, you a part of a lifestyle. It gives you instant, you know what I'm saying, instant tribe. You know, yeah. It's like ride motorcycles up
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like,
you got a family now.
Can't see you on the bike, you know what I'm saying? You rolling, y'all, all the bike right. niggas kind of dress alike. Right. You know, they part of a, they, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a whole lot that go with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get it right, you get it right.
Yeah.
But that shit, you know, it ain't easy. It ain't easy.
That shit be looking crazy. That shit be looking crazy. And a motherfucker, your rear view mirror, you can't focus on shit. That shit is, you don't know what the fuck is going on behind your whip.
Nah, you gotta use your head for that. Use your eyes, man.
Hilarious, man. Yeah,
but you're gonna cause a scene. When they you gonna pull see up. You. They gonna see you when you pull up.
When you pull you up, know, what man? You knocking?
No, man.
Check this out. What you knock? Like, what's one of them records that when you in the whip and you turn that shit on, you like, ooh, you feel good. I'm going to take you back. I went back in the crates. I went to a very OG pull-off record. I was listening to Boomin' System.
Mm-hmm.
That shit still take a hold and make you feel a way. Mm-hmm. What's a record that you throw on where you like, these motherfuckers here?
Well, I don't have one right now because I ain't got no knock in my car. So it's like, I mean, I got regular, you know, nice sound system, but no, it ain't. I'm not planning to pull off on
Yeah. But if you had to.
But fuck me. The most classic pull-up song that I had seen, and it was just so out of the ordinary and out of the blue because we had, mind you, we're in Miami, and we was on the strip on 7th Ave, and I hadn't heard this song, you know what I mean? It was just totally out of the blue. And because they didn't play this group yet in Miami. Like, this, you know what I'm saying? It was like some New York shit, which was like odd at the time.
Yeah.
So everybody out there, and then you see this one cat, he pulled past, mm-hmm. and he hit the corner so he could turn around and get a fresh start.
Right.
So when he hit the corner and he went around the block, he started to get the music set up. You could hear him slide through the songs, but you could hear that trunk ready to go. You're like, oh shit, he was coming clean. And then that shit, that nigga had, he cued that shit up. It was like, that Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh.
That Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Wu-Tang. And then that bass hit.
that motherfucker fucked up the whole block.
Because you wouldn't expect it. You know what I'm saying?
What was he driving?
It was a Chevy. He was in a Vert. No, he was in a hard top, probably a 73 hard top Caprice.
Shit was hitting.
Man, he fucked up the block with that shit. There's plenty of songs that cats like to play, like, you know, in Miami, like to play like some Barry White, you know what I'm saying? Some Love Unlimited Orchestra, some shit like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of different songs that you could play, but that won the pull up song to me. Because when we used to do it, Dougie Fresh had a song. Dougie, this was a few years before. Dougie Fresh had a song.
Hold on one sec, real quick. Well, tell me that, but I want you to answer this question afterward. Is there a difference between a pull-up song and a pull-off song? Because I feel like
it's definitely
two totally different attitudes. But go ahead with your Dougie situation.
But Dougie Fresh had a song which was masterfully engineered at this time for 88, like 87, 88, his first album. My homeboy, his uncle had he had a bunch of cars, but he used to let us get the Cutlass. And the Cutlass had a club sound system in that bitch. It had a CD player. Nobody had that shit yet. Alpine CD player. And it's just, we just call that shit the bass machine because that shit is woo. But Dougie Fresh had a song called Type of Girl that was perfectly engineered for bass.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it start off with that dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. That let them know what you're working with before the bass drop. Mm-hmm. That let them know they hear that rumble coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that shit come on, and that bass drop, you fucking the whole block up, dog. Go pull it up. Pull it up. It's Dougie Fresh.
Type of Girl.
The Type of Girl. And that shit used to tear that shit up.
And it came on with the...
We would play that shit all fucking night.
Definitely put that in the notes, because we put that on the Facebook
page.
Yeah,
everywhere we pulled up, that's how we was pulling up. You know what I mean? We'd back that
Fresh.
Shit. Dougie Fresh, dog.
And it had that dragnet beginning.
Dougie has some bass in his songs. Like, even the show had that drop.
That shit, all that.
But this shit right here had that bass, dog. And when you put it on, that shit, and it was so clear. It was like, you know how Dre shit be all engineered, yeah, right?
Type of girl. It was not that thong, 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 thong.
Listen, man, it ain't no popular song. And okay, and it took years. I couldn't even find that shit online because I don't think his first album is really
cleared like
online
that.
Cleared. Uh-huh. But it's on YouTube. It is. It has been up for probably about five years now. No. But it's not a famous song. It was like a deep cut on the album.
That shit is banging.
That we felt like we discovered because nobody else played it.
Right.
But after about 4 or 5 weeks,
yeah, broke it.
Yeah, we kind of broke that shit. You'll hear niggas pulling up with that because it was perfect for the pull up because it gives you that lead in, just how that Wu-Tang song, right, give you that lead in before, mm-hmm, the bass come in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
You know what a mean pull off record is? That had Jay-Z show you how to do this, son. You know that shit? And it go catch up, niggas. And that motherfucker drop. That shit is fire.
What song,
nigga,
is that? Show you what?
I show you how to do this, son. These ain't the X. We say we don't drive. We don't drive X5s. We give them the baby mamas. You remember that shit? Mm-hmm. Nigga, with that shit dropped. That shit sounds so powerful. That shit. Man, it's a disrespectful pull off record,
right,
too.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
I don't. That shit ain't even been, pulling up and pulling off ain't
it's
been in
different.
My head. You know what I'm saying? When you you know what I'm saying, with the kids and shit, you ain't pulling nowhere.
It's different. Yeah, it's a different.
My daughter want to hear some goddamn pop or some shit.
There's certain songs though that still feel like that. Or there's certain songs. What the fuck I was listening to today? Where I was like, I gotta write something to where this song gets played. Like, this song needs to be played in something, in a scene. Damn, I can't remember the record I was just listening to. I was like, nigga, this is such a dope record. This needs to be in a movie. It's like a known record, but it's one of those records, like, it's only right. And it's like, it evokes a fucking feeling. I can't remember what record it is right now, but it's like one of those things, you know, certain times. You know them needle drops in a movie, when they play that record, the whole scene crystallizes. You like, okay, it sets the tone. You like, okay, I feel that. I cannot fucking, it can't come to me for the life.
Is it a rap song?
Fucking remember. It's either a rap.
Where do you know it from?
From my life. You know what I mean? From hearing it. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. I was just listening to the shit not too long ago, and I'm like, it's my goal to get this shit in the joint, because it just sets such a fucking tone. You like, damn,
so
nigga.
Write the same.
Yeah, I gotta remember the fucking song.
I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I ain't pulled up or off on nobody in, you know what I mean, in quite some time.
Hilarious.
Up New York, you pull off on the train. All right, dog.
Take it easy.
Dip on down the steps, hit the A.
There's some shit too. That's good. There's good train riding music too, though.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
There's definitely.
I be on my funk, really. You know what I'm saying? When I just want to take a break from what's popping, I just go back to the funk.
Yeah,
that's my nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Get on that funk. I like a little like 80s funk, little 80s R&B. Like there's on Sirius XM, there's a station called Groove. And they always playing that shit. They play like that. They definitely play a lot of New Jack Swing, a lot of that old 80s shit. That
That's what Bruno Mars on.
Yeah, Bruno Mars is flipping everything you held dear. That motherfucker is retro in everything. But it's good. I can't even front. He does it. Nobody else flipped the Living Color opening.
Nobody thought to do it.
Nobody thought to do it.
But really, nobody else could have done it justice. Like, because he's already established.
He's established himself as a flipper.
As a good cover artist.
He's a good, yeah.
He's going to be a great Vegas act.
Right, I mean, he's from Vegas, so he.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, so it makes sense. It makes sense. That makes sense.
He was an Elvis impersonator as a kid.
Oh, so it definitely makes sense because he knows
how to embody other.
In Vegas,
swags.
Vegas, you have to have a mentality of real big, but real everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you gonna put 5,000 people in this bitch, but you gotta make all of them happy.
All of them clapping to the same record.
Right. So that's why I like Flo Rida is like big in Vegas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just that kind of music that a whole bunch of people could like, but it might not be, you know what I mean, your thing.
We were talking about that. I was just saying, because, you know, in Vegas in particular, Vegas, I guess even more than any probably any place in the U.S. currently, has the biggest, arguably the biggest respect for DJs.
Well, they need them. They got so many people they need to entertain.
But shit, a lot of cities need DJs.
Not like Vegas.
Maybe. I don't know.
How many clubs?
I've only been to Vegas once.
Per capita mile is
I guess.
It's clubs all through that shit.
I guess that's what it is, but it's very interesting. I guess.
And it's,
I mean, it has to do. I'm sure it has to do with the clubs and the casinos and all of that, but it's like, it feels like it still stays. Like, you know, certain shit starts there. Certain shit starts in a place, mm-hmm. and it'll resonate and it'll move around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get, maybe it's a casino type of thing, but like I've seen in Atlantic City, and maybe if I go up to Foxwoods or something like that, but you'll see the DJs on the huge billboards. Like,
it's high stakes, man.
Yeah.
It's high stakes. They got to get a lot of people in a place to spend a lot of money. And it's a different, like, I've done parties in different cities, but when we did that party during the fight with Mayweather and Pacquiao,
yeah,
it's a different level of money spending. It's mm-hmm. a different level of customer that you're dealing with. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So you might do a party in some city, and you know, you're charging $50 at the door and $100 VIP. You right. know what I'm saying? This shit starting at 200 and your VIP is 500 and people just dropping that shit because they came to Vegas to do that. They come to Vegas to do that. They come to Vegas to spend money and try to get money in them casinos. You got all the shops that, you know, all the expensive shops, all the, you know what I'm saying, all the luxury cars, all that shit is there. That's where people go to do that shit. That's like...
It's Vice City.
Yeah, it's Vice City. It's like, you know, I'm going to ball. Even you might save all year to go to Vegas and ball.
Right.
And ain't nowhere else where you feel like a baller. You know what I'm saying? Other than that place, you feel like a baller when you're balling out there.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand that. I understand you feel like a baller and you're going hard and all of that. But that ain't the only context to respect the DJ in. You know what I mean? Like you figure like... Atlanta got a lot of a crazy club scene, and they respect DJs to a certain degree, you know. But like, it just feels like it's just such a, it's a totally different presentation.
Yeah, it is, because it's a more at stake. You got all of these casinos competing for the same kind of customers,
right?
You know what I'm saying? You got these clubs, so they're gonna put the biggest clubs with the best sound system and the best DJ or the best entertainment,
right?
So that's why the legacy acts, they go to Vegas and they get the biggest one. So you could put one person in a theater and have people come see them every day for months,
right?
Like, It ain't that many places that do it like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? New York is one thing for what it is, but Vegas is like a shopping mall for entertainment,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's gambling, clubs, strippers, they got, you know what I'm saying, their restaurants got to be big. You know what I'm saying? They feeding on the, it's on the industrial level. So DJs is almost important as the entertainers, the singers,
mm-hmm.
because DJs might be cheaper, and they could keep, you know, they can keep them going longer.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm sure that the culture of respecting DJs comes from the fact that you have to compete at a high level and provide a quality entertainment product at all times, whether mm-hmm. it's a singer, whether it's Cirque du Soleil, whether it's DJs in the club.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, you know, I feel like it's just the stakes are higher.
Might be it. Who knows? We'll figure it out. We'll see. Who knows? Anyway, where you gonna be at this week, man?
I'm gonna be basking in some work. No, I'm gonna be here in Brooklyn. I'm actually going to Philly tomorrow. I'll be back, and yeah, I'm gonna be here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Be here for a minute to bust out to the West Side and soak up some of that Hollywood.
get your Oscar nominee.
See what that Hollywood do.
I hear that. That's what's up.
Where you gonna be?
I'm gonna be here in the city. I'm gonna be at the Stand tonight. As a matter of fact, if you're hearing this on Wednesday, I'm there tonight, and I'm there on Thursday night, and I'm there on Sunday. You know what I mean? So I'm around. I'm in these streets doing a bunch of shows, and until then, I'll be back here next week. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Yeah.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.